For a scripture reading, we turn to Psalm 103. We read that psalm together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you, his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We pray together. Lord, we pray now that you will use this message, this sermon, this word that we consider to continue to prepare us to come to the table of the Lord. And we trust that you will be here with your Spirit, accompany the word with the Spirit, that it may go forth powerfully to save and encourage and bless. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text is verses 10 and 11 of the chapter. We read that together again. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. This text uses a picture taken from the world around us in order to instruct and comfort us. It's common for God to do that. Even in this psalm, the Lord pointed us to various pictures to say that reveals something of the relationship you have with me. He pointed to the love of a father for his children. And that is a picture of God's love for us. And again, this morning with the Lord's Supper, he uses a picture, bread and wine, ordinary things he uses to picture his mercy and his grace toward us. In this text, the height of heaven is used as a picture of God's covenant redeeming love. Now, those natural pictures, such as the one in our text, they're so common, so useful, because God created them that way. He created them exactly to be pictures of his spiritual realities. Sometimes we can get that flipped around. We think God looks around in the creation and finds these pictures and then uses them to teach us. But God actually created them to teach us something of his love in this case. So let's look by faith at the picture presented in our text for a few moments to see something of the wonder of God's love. We consider the text under the theme, the heights of God's love, expansive. We consider that, first of all, expansive. Secondly, revealed, how God reveals that great love. And thirdly, promised. The word translated steadfast love in the text is the common Old Testament word hesed, the common word for covenant love or covenant steadfast love. God presents a picture of the expansiveness of his covenant love in the expansiveness of the heavens above. Now, at the outset, I'll say I take the text to mean the first two heavens. Scripture speaks of three heavens. We can think of the sky being the first heaven, the sky above us, the second being outer space, and the third being the place where God dwells with his angels, where God shows himself and dwells with his angels and the souls of his departed saints. I think the text especially means those first two, the sky and outer space. God says then in this text, go ahead, look at the sky, the moon, the sun, and the stars, and see something of the measure of my love. Let's do that then for a few moments together. Look up, as you have, I'm sure, before. Look up now in your mind and see the hawk soaring above you on a cloudless day. The wide expanse of blue, and that hawk is circling above. Take it in. The expansiveness of the sky. 1,000 feet, perhaps, he circles and soars, maybe more. And then hear God's word again. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love. Really, we've only just begun, haven't we? Look again as the clouds begin to form. As they begin to form, knowing that you're seeing 1.5 miles or several miles up. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love. And then night falls. And we see the silent moon glowing softly in the night sky. 238,856 miles. I don't know that off the top of my head, but I looked that up. There's a few things this morning that I looked up, but I'm here to share them with you. 238,000 miles on average is the moon from the earth. God placed it circling there so high to teach us something about the proportions of his love. Or consider the sun. Don't look at this one, the sun, children, but you don't need to. You know it's there. The sun in the sky. We're told the volume of the sun is 1.3 million times the volume of the earth. That's hard to believe, but it's true. Yet consider how small in the sky, in the heavens, in comparison to its true size, it really is. 92,955,807 miles away. 92 million plus miles. And yet, it looks relatively small. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love. But then consider the other suns, the stars, that God made and God put there to show you something of the expanse of his love. They seem so small, just a pinprick, some of them. They seem so small, but they're actually much larger than the sun. Many of them are. Some of them even 500 times the size of the sun. So far away that they're measured no longer in miles, but they're measured in light years away from the earth, which is how many years it takes light from them to reach us. And remember, light travels at 186,000 miles a second. The closest stars are 4 to 5 light years away. That's light traveling 186,000 miles a second for 4 or 5 years. I can't comprehend that. I can't comprehend that. That's tremendous. But that's still only the beginning. The stars that we can see are simply part of our galaxy. They belong to our galaxy. Our galaxy is part of a cluster of galaxies, about 300 galaxies clustered together. Other whole galaxies are so far away that they only appear as pinpricks of light. David probably didn't understand that when he wrote this, but the Spirit did. The Spirit who inspired him did. And all of this, all of these multitudes of galaxies are all expanding, racing away from us in every direction very, very rapidly. I won't even try to understand how fast that is. That means that there's even more space out there for all of this to fill. Incredible. And then listen once again to what God says about all of this. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is my love. My steadfast love. And by that, God does not make a direct, precise comparison because God is infinite. He has no boundaries whatsoever. And so his attributes also are infinite. They have also no boundaries, such as God's love, one of his attributes, the one that we're discussing here. They're ever expanding. One way to think of it is they're ever expanding like the universe. And yet, they have no boundary. The universe does. But God doesn't. But God says, grasp something of the height of heaven above the earth, and you will have grasped something of the magnitude of my love. And he does not keep that love to himself. He shows it to us. He reveals his love. He's given us this picture so that we can grasp the magnitude of it. But you might say, how can he show this great expanse of love to us in a way that we can grasp it, in a way that we can appreciate it, understand it, and stand in awe of it? How could he reveal it? This great love. Verse 10 answers our question. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. That's God's way of showing his love. That's God's love in action. He could have. We speak hypothetically now, not ignoring God's eternal plan, but simply to grasp something of the justice and what we deserve. God could have dealt with us after our sins. He could have repaid us according to our iniquities. We deserve it. Don't forget that. It would have been just for God to do that, for God to repay us according to our sins, according to our iniquities. God, he does for some. It's a very sobering thought, isn't it, when we really take it seriously. He deals with some according to their sins. He deals with some according to their iniquities. People who we live among, they'll spend an everlasting time in hell. He's a holy God. He hates sin. He hates it with a perfect hatred. And he punishes it with an incomprehensible fury. But for us, he's provided another to stand in our place. To reveal his great love, he gave his son to take our place. He really took our place in his son. God doesn't repay us according to our sins and according to our iniquities because he stepped forward into this earth in his son to take our sins upon himself. And to take the punishment we deserve. To deal with Christ, his son, according to our sins. To repay him according to our iniquities. And that's no small thing, beloved. Maybe we're so accustomed to hearing that. We know that. We know that. We understand that. But let's be impressed with it. Let's let it sink into our hearts. And realize that even just one sin committed against the most high majesty of God must be punished with everlasting punishment in hell of body and soul. One sin. One of my sins. One of your sins. And now take into account all of your sins. The sins of a lifetime. And all the sins then of all of God's people. Everlasting times everlasting punishment was placed on him. Something like the expansiveness of the sky. of judgment and wrath for sin was placed on Christ in our place as our substitute. That's the love of God. That's the love of God. That's the love of your Savior. The love of God is revealed in forgiveness. Forgiveness. All our sin is gone. Dealt with by our Savior, by His broken body, by His shed blood. All of our sin is gone. So when you look at the elements this morning, in the Lord's Supper, see by faith in those elements, the bread, the juice, the wine, see by faith, galaxies of forgiveness, light years of love, vast expanses of mercy and grace. Think to yourself, how great are my sins? How great are my sins? There's heights of forgiveness to lose them in. How expansive are my iniquities? Infinite cleansing there is to match. And then say, He does not deal with us according to our sins. He does not repay us according to our iniquities. What love. What love of God. Surely, the sky above us, the vast expanses of space, really can't even begin to describe. They give a full and accurate picture of God's love and our forgiveness. Just something of it is revealed in that picture. And all this is promised, the text says, to those who fear Him. To those who fear Him. At the end of verse 11, as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His steadfast love to them, to those who fear Him. Now the text is not saying, and I want everyone to understand this, I want to be very clear about this, the text is not saying, if you fear Him enough, if you fear Him enough, then you can earn His love. If you fear Him enough, then He'll forgive you all your sins. He won't repay you for your iniquities. That is not what the text is saying. But the text is saying, this is the mark. This is the mark that He works in the hearts and the lives of those for whom this is true. They fear Him. It answers the question for us, who's this true for? All this about God's love and how great God's love is and how expansive God's love is and that He doesn't repay us according to our sins and our iniquities. Who's that true for? Is it true for me? That's the question, you know. That's the question you have to answer in your life. That's the great question everyone must stand before. And the answer is for those who know their need for forgiveness, the need of God's love. It's for all those who fear God, who are humbly sorry for their sins. There's a lot of ways we could go with explaining what fear of God is, but I'm just going to take this particular explanation this morning. Fear of God is being humbly sorry for your sins. Sorry that one has aggravated God by his sin. You feel some horror that Jesus had to suffer for my sins. Who believe through Him there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. God dealt with my sins, my iniquities in Jesus Christ. That's fearing God. Because fearing God is believing what He says, and that's what He says. Even my lack of fearing Him is covered. Those who desire to reverence God by a life lived in holiness, who stand in awe of His love. High as the heavens are above the earth, they understand that. They grasp something of it anyway, and they want to worship Him and serve Him obediently for His great love. Those people are the people who fear God. The text is for them, for all those who fear Him, who have some knowledge of their sins, some knowledge of the forgiveness of their sins, and some desire to walk in holiness. Is that you? Then come to the Lord's Supper and be reminded. Be reminded. He does not deal with us according to our sins. He does not repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His steadfast love to those who fear Him. Towards you. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your word. Apply it to our hearts. Encourage us in Your love. Give us to be ravished with the boundaries, the endlessness of Your love, and to know most assuredly that You love us by forgiving us all of our sins at Your own expense, at the expense of our Savior, who did so willingly and in love for us too. We pray, now apply our hearts to receive the Lord's Supper by faith. In Jesus' name, amen.